everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name is Ja, and today we're going to go ahead and go into a very anticipated episode this week. I'm going to be discussing players who I think are being severely undervalued in terms of ADP. If you have yet to draft, I think these are guys that are going to take your team from good to great. And a few of these, you know, players I'll discuss today are new acquisitions within their respective teams. So I'm going to talk about guys like Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and DeAndre Swift. All players in new teams, new regimes, new offenses. And I think the ADP doesn't exactly match what their output will be. Sometimes I think the industry is a little too safe, and I'm going to get a little bit more, for lack of better words, aggressive with my projections for this year's production. I'm also going to talk about wide receiver Cooper Kupp, Colt favorite, right? And I'm also going to talk about tight end Evan Ingram, who I think has the potential to finish the year as tight end one. So let's go ahead and start once again with those running backs. I want to talk about these guys who are on new teams. So we got Saquon Barkley to start off. Saquon Barkley, and once again, my honest opinion, has a ceiling in which he could potentially be RB2 on the season. I went ahead and I looked at what DeAndre Swift did with the Eagles last season, and I looked at what Saquon Barkley did with the Giants last season, and I tried to, you know, meet them in the middle. Right. So Saquon Barkley is entering the Philadelphia Eagles offense in which he's going to be running behind the best offensive line he's ever had. He's playing alongside the best quarterback he's ever seen. And he has two perimeter weapons, the likes of he's never experienced, and Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Those perimeter weapons are going to increase the space he has to work with in the middle of the field. It's not New York anymore. You can't just stack the box against Saquon Barkley. Now, his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, who's multifaceted and also has the ability to run with his legs the same way Daniel Jones did, he's going to pose a threat, and he's going to confuse defenses, and Saquon Barkley is going to be able to go ahead and reap those rewards. But most importantly, the dude's running behind five offensive linemen, the likes of which he's never ran behind before, and it's a major upgrade going from, you know, Evan Neal and the New York Giants offensive line to one of the best in Philadelphia. So let's go ahead and talk about Saquon Barkley's projections this year, because I want to dive right into it. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I got his projections pretty aggressive, but hear me out. I think Saquon Barkley is going to touch the ball on the ground in terms of rushing attempts north of 275 attempts. But let's use 275 as, you know, the number. I think Saquon with 275 attempts could get over 1,300 yards. Last season in New York, Saquon Barkley had 247 attempts for the New York Giants and only 14 games played. Had the dude played the whole season, he probably would have reached around 300 rush attempts on the ground in New York. I think he has 275 this year with the Eagles pretty easily. They gave him a bag. He signed a contract with the Eagles, and I think at 27 years old, there's no time to waste. Get him the ball. Let's see what he can produce, right? Now, in New York, the yards per carry weren't great. He averaged around 3.89 yards per carry. For reference, DeAndre Swift in the Philadelphia Eagles offense last season averaged north of 4.5 yards per carry. I believe his actual number was like 4.68 or something around that number. So you're talking about almost a full yards difference in terms of what DeAndre Swift was able to produce behind the Philadelphia Eagles line. and what Saquon was able to produce out in New York behind their line. I do think Saquon's the overall better athlete. I think Saquon's the better running back compared to DeAndre Swift. And I don't think he's going to have any trouble matching the 4.68 yards per carry. Shit, if not exceeding it, right? I think the guy could get nearly 5 yards per carry. And so if we go ahead and do the math, 275 attempts, 5 yards a carry, he's looking at nearly 1,300 yards on the ground, right? So for those of you who play fantasy football, 1,300 yards is equivalent to 130 fantasy points on the season. But we haven't gotten into receptions yet. Saquon Barkley last season had around 41 receptions on the New York Giants in 14 games played. So he averaged about, you know, three catches a game. In Philadelphia, I project that his floor is around that same number. I think he'll be a dump-off option. Right, I think with that offensive line, they'll run a decent amount of screens. I think that he'll be a quick dump-off option for Jalen Hurts, who's pretty aware when he's on the football field. I think Saquon Barkley could see around 55-ish receptions this upcoming season. So over the course of a 17-game season, you're talking about the dude seeing close to 4 catches per game, right? A catch per quarter coming out of the backfield. I think with those receptions, Saquon Barkley is going to go ahead and generate north of 450 yards, right? So, you know, nothing too shabby. And in terms of total touchdowns, I have Saquon Barkley at 11 total touchdowns. I think that's a pretty safe number. 11 touchdowns means that he essentially scores almost every game. If anything, that touchdown number is low. I think that touchdown number of 11 per, like, in a season is relatively like conservative. Saquon Barkley is a monster. He's a big dude. He never goes down on the first tackle, and I project the Eagles to be in the end zone relatively often. Last season for New York, he had 10 touchdowns. The season before in New York, he had 10 touchdowns. So over the last two seasons, he has 20 touchdowns total. I think on a better offense, I don't think 11 is too much of a far fetch. But if all things were to come true, and let's say you played in a half PPR league, Saquon Barkley is, at least by my projections, he's going to see around 270 points. 270 points is enough to go ahead and put him in the top five of running backs. Within my rankings, I have him in the top five alongside Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Josh Jacobs, who I'm about to get into, and then once again himself, Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley, better offense in Philadelphia, better quarterback, better O-line, better receivers to open up the box, allow him to get more yards per attempt. I don't think it's a far cry that if this guy plays 17 games, he's going to be a top five running back for you. Right now, Saquon Barkley is going in the middle of the second round, but if you expect him to be a top five running back the way I do, he's an easy first round pick, especially if you pick in the latter half of the first round, right? Like if you got picks 8, 9, or 10 in a 10-team league even, that's a really great value. On the wraparound, you might be able to go ahead and get a guy like Saquon Barkley and then go ahead and grab a receiver, right? So maybe you can go out there and get a receiver like Devontae Adams. You know, you go get somebody who you project to be a pretty reliable wide receiver one. All right, and Josh Jacobs is actually a little bit more of the same compared to Saquon. Josh Jacobs has a season where he was the top two, top one borderline running back in fantasy. He now goes to the Green Bay Packers, once again playing behind an offensive line the likes of he's never seen before, playing alongside an upgrade at quarterback in Jordan Love, and playing with a ton of perimeter weapons that's going to take pressure off of him in the backfield. He's playing with guys like Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, Luke Musgrave, Dontavian Wicks, bunch of weapons, and he's not going to be the primary focal point of the offense. Josh Jacobs, honestly, dude, he's going in the second round. If I had the 8th pick in a draft, I wouldn't be mad if you took Saquon first round with the 1-8, and let's say in a 10-team draft in a 10-team draft, you went ahead and took Josh Jacobs at the 2-2. In a 12-team draft, you go ahead and take Josh Jacobs at the, 2-3, 2-4. those two running backs, I think, are going to be top five running backs in fantasy football. And if you could get that stack, if you could get those guys together on one squad, bro, you are going to score a lot of points. Josh Jacobs, as opposed to his time in, you know, Las Vegas, bro's gonna, he's going to be in the end zone a lot. He's going to be near the end zone a lot. He's going to be near the goal line a lot. A.J. Dillon, who's his direct backup right now in Green Bay, has been a guy who's kind of disappointed. He's a big dude. He is supposed to be a thumper, but we haven't really seen as much during his first 4 or 5 years in the league. Jordan Love was taken in the same draft class, and he's been extended. The Packers barely have A.J. Dillon on a deal. I think he's making like $1 million this year. So it's kind of like a make or break year for A.J. Dillon. And I think Josh Jacobs is going to thrive. I think he's going to go ahead and probably be the bell cow in this offense. And we're talking about Green Bay. Green Bay has the potential to be maybe the best offense in all of football. Matt LaFleur is an offensive-minded head coach. You have Jordan Love, who's able to throw the ball deep, accurately. He looks like Aaron Rodgers 2.0. They have a ton of wide receivers. We don't even have a certified wide receiver one in Green Bay. But they got a bunch of guys who can get the job done, right? And Josh Jacobs is just going to be sitting there in the backfield, taking carries, running behind a great offensive line, stacking up yards, and collecting a lot of touchdowns, obviously barring injury. My projections for Josh Jacobs are damn near as aggressive as what I had for Saquon Barkley. I think Josh Jacobs sees around 275 touches as well in this Packers-Green Bay offense. I believe Josh Jacobs averages close to 1,300 yards. My exact measurement for him is 1,294 yards. I believe in terms of receptions, he is also going to eat in an offense that, you know, utilizes all of their guys. They don't have a problem throwing in the backfield. If you don't know, ask Aaron Jones, who is also able to go ahead and catch a lot of passes in the backfield in Green Bay. But Josh Jacobs is essentially going to be stepping into the role that Aaron Jones left available. And so he'll be a multifaceted weapon once again coming out of the backfield. Now, compared to his Las Vegas numbers last year, in Las Vegas, in 2023, Josh Jacobs played in 13 total games. So he missed 4 games. In only 13 games, he had 233 rush attempts. I'm saying he gets 275 if he's healthy, so an extra 40 rush attempts and an extra 4 games, right? He had 805 yards because he only averaged 3.45 yards per carry, which is a really bad yards per carry number. That Vegas offensive line, it was amongst the league's worst. The year prior to 2023, in which he had his kind of big year for fantasy football, he averaged 4.86 yards per carry. He dropped from 4.86 yards per carry to 3.45. He averaged a yard and a half less than what he did the year prior. In Green Bay, that has a better offensive line than what the Raiders had in 2022 or 2023. I expect Josh Jacobs to get back to form, and yeah, I see him averaging maybe closer to that 4.8 yards per carry number. So obviously, if you're good at math, you'll be able to do the math. 4.8 yards per carry on a projected, let's say, 275 rush attempts. It won't get you exactly that 1,294 rushing yards I projected. It actually gets you around 1,320, but if you leave a little room for error, you know, you're talking about a difference of 26 yards, right? So if he hits anywhere within that realm of rushing yards, he's going to be an extremely effective running back. In terms of receptions last year, he saw 37 receptions in 13 games in Las Vegas. The year prior, he had 53 receptions in Las Vegas in the full 17 games played. So, hey, in a full year played, he saw about, you know, 53 receptions. I think in a full year played in Green Bay, he won't be too far off of the career highs that he set in Vegas in 2022. Once again, the best offense he's ever been a part of. I think he stays around that. I project him for about 488 to 500 reception yards this season pretty easily. But most importantly, touchdowns. What do the touchdowns look like on a team where he likely should be near the end zone more often? Last year, once again, only 13 games played. He had 6 touchdowns. In 2022, he had 12 touchdowns all on the ground. This year, I think in Green Bay, Josh Jacobs goes ahead and sees 13 touchdowns, so one more than what, you know, he saw in his career year of 2022. I'm essentially expecting Josh Jacobs to have one of the best years of his career. I have him projected at around 270-ish total fantasy points if you play in a half PPR league. That number does spike if you play in full PPR, but I have Josh Jacobs as a top five running back in fantasy football in the Green Bay Packers offense. And the next running back we're going to talk about today is going to be DeAndre Swift, newest acquisition of the Chicago Bears. DeAndre Swift is actually exchanging, I guess not places, but he's the former Philadelphia running back that Saquon Barkley is replacing. And he will be stepping into the Chicago Bears offense, now led by Caleb Williams. They have a bunch of weapons at receiver with Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. So, you know, Swift might be in tune. He might have a chance of having a really big year this year, not going to lie. My projections for DeAndre Swift going into the 2024 season, I got DeAndre seeing around 250-ish rushing attempts for 1,000 yards, maybe a little bit over 1,000 yards. I think he's going to see a ton of pass catching opportunity in the backfield with Chicago. Rookie quarterback's best friend is the running back in the flat, whether it's to hand off and have them rush or it's just to dump off to, right? I think Caleb Williams is going to be a great quarterback eventually in the NFL. He might even be an elite quarterback at some point. But just like every other rookie, he's going to have learning curves. DeAndre Swift being the pass-catching, versatile Swiss Army knife out of the backfield is going to be beneficial, especially with the first-year quarterback. And I think Swift is going to go ahead and handle a decent amount of goal line work and, you know, just flats and dump-offs in the backfield, right? He's in a prime opportunity to go ahead and see a ton of touches. They gave him a free agent contract, so I believe it's a multi-year deal. And my projections for DeAndre Swift, once again, is that he's going to see around 250 rush attempts, over 1,000 yards. Let's call it at, you know, 1,050. I think DeAndre Swift actually is amongst the running back leaders in terms of receptions. So for his receptions, I have him averaging anywhere between 4 to 5 receptions per game. Let's call it at 60 receptions per game. Or not per game, but total on the season. 60 receptions on the season. And I think DeAndre Swift probably sees around 500-ish yards in the receiving category. So all in all, I see him cumulatively coming in for around 1,500-ish yards. I got DeAndre Swift seeing around 9 to 10 touchdowns on the game. So he scores a touchdown maybe once every other game. And yeah, I mean, I got the guy at north of 230 points this season. So that would register him as a top 10 running back for me this season. He's going to be behind guys like Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Josh Jacobs, like I mentioned, Saquon Barkley, like I mentioned. He'll be behind guys like Jonathan Taylor. He'll be behind Jahmyr Gibbs. And I have him in the range of a Devon Achan and Travis Etienne this season. Similar mold in that he can obviously rush the ball really well. He's going to be able to catch passes out of the backfield, which is going to be really beneficial for you if you play in a half PPR or a full PPR league. And, you know, in Philadelphia, he saw a lot of red zone touches with Jalen Hurts. That's why he was able to go ahead and have the season that he had last year, once again, in Philadelphia. Last season in Philly, he ended the season as RB20. So he was essentially, you know, like a back-end RB2. I think that this year in Chicago, with him being that veteran presence, with him having a quarterback who's not as much of a veteran as Jalen Hurts, so, hey, don't know what to do. Dump it off, easy completion. Give it to Swift. And on top of that, Caleb Williams isn't the rushing threat that Jalen Hurts is. We know Jalen Hurts is notorious for stealing touchdowns from running backs. I don't think we see as much of that from Caleb Williams because Hurts is one of one, right? So I do think DeAndre Swift sees an uptick in terms of fantasy football production. If on Philadelphia he ended the year as RB20 in all of fantasy football, I believe the touchdowns see positive progression. I believe the rushing yards see positive progression with him obviously getting more attempts, not having, you know, Jalen Hurts in the backfield like that. And yeah, I think that he could go ahead and make the jump to being a borderline top 10 running back in the league this season. He's going to be on an explosive offense that's near the red zone or the end zone relatively often. And I believe as the veteran back in that backfield, he's going to get a lot of opportunity to go ahead and put numbers up on the board. Now, DeAndre Swift is being taken around the 6th round. And I'm telling you that I have him as a top 10 borderline running back. at worst, shit, top 15, right? Top 15 would be if you want to build in some regression or you want to, you know, build in some air. But for the sixth round, like, that's where you're getting wide receiver fours and fives and RB3s and RB4s. Yo, if you can get an RB2 in the sixth round, and in the first five rounds, you can go wide receiver heavy, right? Maybe grab one solid running back, and then you can go back and, you know, spin the block with the DeAndre Swift. Dog, you can build a really strong roster that way. He's the type of player that would take your team from good to great. That's why I really like DeAndre Swift, because at his ceiling, he's a top 10 back. At his floor, I don't think he's any worse than what he was last year. He's going to have so much more opportunity, barring injury, obviously. So I got DeAndre Swift in the same territory that I have a Jahmyr Gibbs and Devon Achane. I believe he's going to be a borderline top 10 running back, and he's going in the sixth round. That's a great value. Go out there and snatch him up. It doesn't cost you a lot, and the upside is what could take you from being good to great. Cooper Kupp has probably got to be one of the most interesting players this year in fantasy. Dude had a triple crown season not too long ago, and he was a league winner for most. The last couple years, however, he's been dealing with injury. It's not a matter of he lost, you know, his step or he forgot how to play football. He just hasn't been on the field healthy. And if you know anything about fantasy, you know that injuries are the one thing you can't really predict. They just happen. Injuries and touchdowns are similar in that fashion, in that they happen when they happen, and there's no predictive stat that's going to tell you when they're going to occur. Now, Cooper Kupp this season, assuming he's healthy, similar to last season, self-admittedly, I'm going to have him in the range of being a top 10, top 15 wide receiver. Cooper Kupp last season, in the time in which he was healthy, he played in about 12 games. He had 59 catches for 737 yards. So 12 games, 59 catches, that's about 5 catches per game, right? 12 times 5 is 60. So averaged about 5 catches per game. He had 737 yards. So if we want to do a little bit more quick math on that, he averaged around somewhere between 60 to 70 yards per game. So let's say 5 catches per game, 65 yards per game was his average. And the guy had 5 touchdowns in 12 games, meaning he scored almost once every other game. Right? Those are pretty solid numbers, and that was all alongside the emergence of Puka Nacua. I think this year Cooper Kupp is going to be, I guess, renewed. He's going to be refreshed. I think that he is past the injury window, though that is hard to predict. If dude happens to play a full season this year, I have the Rams as a dark horse NFC champion this season. I think with Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, they have one of the youngest defenses in the league, but it's chock full of really good players. I think the Rams really have the pieces to make a deep playoff run. They were in the playoffs last year, and unfortunately, they didn't make it too far. But they showed that, hey, even with the young roster, we can make things happen. Cooper Kupp this season, I'm projecting to, you know, maybe continue those stats he had last year, in which, hey, you know, about 5 catches, 60 something yards, he's going to get in the end zone once every other game close to. My projections for Cooper Kupp this year is he ends the season as a top 10 wide receiver, and I'm probably gonna have to give you guys a little bit more explanation after talking about what I project his stats to be. Cooper Kupp isn't one of those dudes who runs too many jet sweeps. He's gonna run a few. And on the ground, he might get you maybe 20 to 25 rushing yards, right? They're going to try to find a way to get the ball in his hand. However, with his receptions, I do think he's going to go out there and he's going to eat. I think next year he's going to see north of 100 receptions. I think next year he's going to go ahead and see close to 1,300 yards. Shit, I think next year the dude could see close to 10 to 11 touchdowns. This is Cooper Kupp at his ceiling. This is Cooper Kupp in a situation in which, let's say, Puka Nacua, you know, regresses a tad bit. Puka Nacua was never somebody who got a shit ton of targets throughout the season. I want to say he ended the year with less than 85 receptions, playing most of the games in the NFL season last year. So Cooper Kupp still outpaced him in terms of, like, catches per game and all that kind of stuff. But Cooper Kupp is someone who has finished the last 2 years as wide receiver 40 and wide receiver 23. But in the last 2 years, he's only played 12 and 9 games, respectively. His last time playing a full 17-game season, he was wide receiver 1 in all of the NFL. He went crazy, 145 catches, 16 touchdowns. He scored damn near every game. And the last 2 years, he's been on pace to have pretty strong numbers. The injuries just kind of held him back. In the case that he plays a full 17-game season, while I don't have him as wide receiver 1, if he's wide receiver 10, wide receiver 11, those are still wide receiver 1 numbers, respectfully, for your team. And right now, Cooper Kupp is being taken in around, you know, maybe like the 4th round. If the dude has wide receiver 1 upside, he's a great pickup if you decide to go RB robust, meaning let's say you take 3 running backs in the first 3 rounds. Shit, let's say you take 2 running backs in the first 3 rounds. If he's somebody that you can put in as a solid wide receiver 2, if he's someone that you can put in as, shit, even a low-end wide receiver 1, there's value in that. I think that this year he's going to see 5 to 6 catches per game. Let's say it's 6 catches per game. Let's say he plays the middle of the field. He's running a lot of end-breaking routes. You know, they have guys like Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua and so forth. But with the absence of Tyler Higbee no longer being in this offense due to injury, at least for the first half of the season, I do think Cooper Kupp is going to eat some of the targets that would have been there for him. Colby Parkinson was someone that the Los Angeles Rams signed. Don't know how he's going to fit into the offense. But historically, Colby Parkinson hasn't exactly been like super active in the pass catching game. He's just been kind of all right. So I do think Cooper Kupp, if he saw 5 receptions per game last year, they haven't added any major weapons. I know there's a lot of buzz around Jordan Whittington, but kind of want to see what that is. He's, you know, not like a super high draft pick. So we'll see what happens with that. But with Tyler Higbee being gone, with a couple more receptions maybe being available to these guys the first half of the season, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that Cooper Kupp goes from 5 catches a game to maybe 6 or 7. And if that were to be the case, I think that him getting north of 100 to 110 receptions is definitely within the realm of possibilities. I think the guy's going to go ahead and score touchdowns because of anyone, Matthew Stafford trusts Cooper Kupp in the end zone. Puka Nacua put up a ton of yards last year, and that's really what boosted his fantasy value. But Puka Nacua wasn't the touchdown guy. That's where Kyren Williams and those running backs came in. Cooper Kupp is a touchdown guy as far as the receivers go. He is the person or the receiver that Matthew Stafford has thrown the most touchdowns to in this offense. I think he's going to go ahead and once again be a weapon down there. He's being drafted in the 4th round. The dude has low-end wide receiver 1. Super high-end wide receiver 2 value. And if he's going in the 4th round and you were to get him in the 3rd or the 4th round, that's going to be a great value. If he does end up reaching his ceiling and being a top 10 wide receiver, getting him in the 3rd round is what's going to take your team, once again, from good to great. I like Cooper Kupp a lot this year. All right, and Raheem Mostert is next. We're talking about the running back out of Miami. The dude's going to be 32 this year, I want to say. And Raheem Mostert's a really interesting pickup this year because he's being somewhat undervalued too. He ended the year last year as the RB2 in all of fantasy football, but for whatever reason, he's being drafted in the 7th round. That's a discrepancy. That's weird. I don't care how old he is. He's staying in the same offense with most of the same weapons. They added Jalen Wright, who's a rookie. He'll come in and he'll take some receptions, maybe a couple rushing attempts. But assuming all stays close to the same, maybe you want to build in a little bit of regression for Mostert. I don't think a rookie who's going to come in and, you know, maybe get a couple carries per game is going to downgrade Raheem Mostert from RB2 to, like, RB30, right? Only thing that's going to happen for that to occur is an injury to Raheem Mostert, which, once again, we don't predict injuries here. Raheem Mostert last season was spectacular. He won a lot of people, a lot of money, a lot of championships, a lot of trophies. Now, going into this season, they re-signed Tua Tagovailoa. They have Tyreek Hill under contract. They, you know, extended Jalen Waddle. So we expect this Miami Dolphins offense to be 1 year wiser. Last season, Raheem Mostert finished the season with 1,012 rushing yards. What really helped him get to that RB2 position was the touchdowns, because he had 18 touchdowns on the ground. He had 3 touchdowns through the air, He had 175 reception yards and 25 catches. So he averaged about 5 yards per catch and, once again, 3 reception touchdowns. On the year, he had 21 touchdowns, and that's an incredible number. Yes, there is regression to come, right? So maybe he doesn't get 21. Maybe he sees, I don't know. Let's say the guy sees, let's be aggressive. Let's say he sees a 50% decrease in touchdowns. So he goes from 21 touchdowns to maybe 11 touchdowns on the season, right? So let's bake him in for a severe regression. In that realm, he would lose about 60 points. Last year, he scored 259 fantasy points. That would bring his total points to about 199 to 200 fantasy points on the season. Now, where would that place him if that touchdown regression were to occur? Well, last season, he would have finished the year as RB14. Ahead of Isaiah Pacheco, who scored 197 points, and behind 2023's version of Saquon that scored 204. So even with the touchdown regression, he would have went from RB2 to about RB14, which is a high-end RB2. If you play in a RB, or if you play in a 14-team league, he's still a low-end RB1. So let's bake in some touchdown regression. 50% is relatively aggressive, right? But let's say, yeah, he goes from 21 touchdowns total to maybe 14, right? Let's say he loses a couple hundred yards on the ground, a couple receptions here or there. Dude, he's still going to be strong enough to finish the season as RB2, right? Like, if he loses 7 touchdowns next season, so that's about 42 points. He loses, let's say, 150 yards, that's an extra 15 points. And let's say he loses 5, 6, 7 receptions for 40, 50 yards, right? You're talking about the guy essentially losing out on maybe 60 points next season. So instead of 252, he scores maybe around 190 this year. Once again, dude, 190 in fantasy football last year as a running back would have placed him slightly above Devon Achane, who finished as RB19 with 187 points. Even in that regression case, he still finishes the year in fantasy football as a top 20 running back. He's being taken in the 7th round of fantasy football drafts. You're getting an RB2 in the 7th round of fantasy football drafts. That's insane. Take Raheem Mostert. I don't think I need to tell y'all a whole lot more than that. We baked in the regression. We predicted that he sees at least like a 50% decrease in touchdowns. And, you know, he sees less receptions, less rushing yards. He had such a great year last year that even if he saw such a stiff, steep regression, he's still going to be an RB2 for you as opposed to maybe the RB2 in all of fantasy. He's still worthy of a starting lineup spot. He's going to go ahead and probably outperform his 7th round ADP, and he's free money right now. So go ahead and grab Raheem Mostert, and don't feel too bad about it. He's an excellent, excellent, excellent flex, and like I've been saying all episode, he's the type of player that could take you from good to great and maybe even to champion. And last, but certainly not least, we're going to talk about a tight end today, and that tight end goes by the name of Evan Engram. Evan Engram is probably my favorite tight end for value this year. He's going around the same value that Raheem Mostert's going, so we're talking like 7th round. Evan Engram has the potential to go from tight end 2, which he was last year, to tight end 1. So as opposed to Raheem Mostert, who was RB2, and I'm projecting regression, Evan Engram is tight end 2 from the 2023 season, and he might have positive progression. Last season, Evan Engram saw 114 receptions. He had 963 yards on the season, and he had 4 touchdowns. He averaged about 8.45 yards per carry or catch. 8.45 yards per catch. No Calvin Ridley in Jacksonville anymore. No Zay Jones in Jacksonville anymore. Evan Engram now has Brian Thomas on the perimeter, who's going to be a field stretcher. He has Christian Kirk on the perimeter, who's going to be a field stretcher. And he has Gabe Davis on the field, who's going to be a field stretcher. a lot of field stretching is going to happen in Jacksonville, and Evan Ingram's going to be one of the receivers along with Travis Etienne, who's going to go ahead and eat in the open field underneath. He is going to have a field day. I expect him to have maybe around the same amount of receptions, so let's say 114 to 120 receptions on the season, assuming he's healthy the whole year. But his yards per catch is going to increase. As opposed to him getting maybe 8.5 yards per catch, with Brian Thomas, Gabe Davis, and Christian Kirk all extending the field, I think he's going to go ahead and see a progression in terms of yards per catch. And I could see him going from 8.45 to easily close to 10 yards per catch. That's about 1.5 yards extra per catch. And we're talking about this guy maybe having 115 receptions. That's pretty easily an extra 115 to 160 yards on the season. He was tight end too with 114, with 963, with a bunch of touchdowns. What happens if his yards per catch increases? Or I guess his ADOT for some of you know, fantasy football nerds. What happens when his yards increase, his receptions remain relatively around the same number, and the touchdowns probably won't change all too much? I still see him as the primary red zone weapon. He caught 2 touchdowns in the last preseason game, and the only 2 drives were Trevor Lawrence played. So you know he's going to be a red zone target. But he's one of the few guys who finished at an extremely high level last year that I think could actually take another step forward. Right? Christian McCaffrey was RB1 last year. As he ages, it's within the realm of possibilities that he regresses. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 1 last year. He missed training camp. Coming into the season, there's a chance he could regress the first half of the season. Like, regression you typically build in for guys who finished at such a high level. But Evan Ingram's one of those exceptions in which his situation got better. He has less target competition. The receivers on his field are going to stretch the field more than what Calvin Ridley did. Right? So you're going to open up lanes for him to catch the ball and get yards after the catch in the middle of the field. And he's still the primary red zone target. Christian Kirk's a smaller guy. Gabe Davis hasn't historically been a red zone weapon. Brian Thomas Jr., he's a rookie. We'll see what happens. I think Evan Ingram's going to go ahead and see some progression. He's tight end too. The tight end market isn't overly saturated. It doesn't take much to push him into that tight end one territory. Guys like Sam Laporta, I expect to see some regression. Sam Laporta had a crazy yards per catch last year. I think that goes down a little bit. He had a ton of touchdowns too. Evan Ingram's in a better situation, one of the few top-end tight ends in a better situation, and I think he's going to go ahead and eat off that. He is my dark horse. I don't even know if he's a dark horse, but he's my guy who I project to be tight end 1 next year, and I think it'll be a fun watch. He's going in the 7th round, so that's excellent value. Another guy who you can get for discount, and yeah, I think he goes ahead and elevates your team to where you need to get to. Those are some of my favorite under-projected players on the 2024 season. Let me know what you guys think. You can leave comments on this Spotify episode, or you can even tweet me at the Gumball Pod on X. But until we meet again, my name is Ja. This is Fantasy Football with Gumbo. Peace.